Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. Technology creates miraculous tools and toys. We're told 1,000 times a day we will achieve meaning and happiness by buying and using them. Yet for our 200,000 years on this earth, we've found meaning and happiness elsewhere. What can climbing rocks possibly have to do with that? Barbara Wetherill and Zach Buscilla may have some answers. Many thanks to you both for joining us on Home Ground. Barbara, where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
I grew up outside of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania on a small farm, couple of horses.
Anything else on the farm? Did you grow any crops or anything?
My mom had a pretty big garden, but it was more of a gentleman's farm, I guess.
Okay.
And my mom is a CPA and a registered nurse, and my dad was a chemist.
That's an interesting group for farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you, what did they do that influenced you as you watched them growing up? Any brothers and sisters?
I don't.
Okay, so only child.
Yep.
You're watching your folks. What are you picking up from them?
We were outside a lot. We had this beautiful farm with the house was built in 1811, and big stone mansion and horses in the back. And I came home from school and mucked the stalls and rode the horses and helped in the garden. This was the late 70s. There wasn't cable TV. I think we had one TV you had to get up and change the channel. So I was outside quite a bit.
Gee, without cable television, how did you find anything of interest to do?
It was all outside.
Sure. Did you ride a lot?
Horses?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. It was a very big part of my childhood into my teenage years.
And what held you about that?
Oh, just the connection and the beauty, riding on trails and jumping over downed logs, and it was just idyllic.
And did you get to know the horses at all, would you say?
Yes, and we had our goes-arounds, believe me. Yeah, the one I rode was named Mr. Firefly, and his companion was a little pony. I can't remember his name, but they had their own personalities, and was a wonderful time in my childhood. I think about it very fondly.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to the local public high school for 1 year, and that was not working, so I actually ended up at boarding school for 10th, 11th, and 12th grade.
How was that? Boarding school has a mixed reputation. How was it for
That's
you?
The word I would use. I think I became fiercely independent because of that, but there was a little bit of some abandonment, possibly feeling like... my parents didn't want to raise me, but I had great opportunities. I did some really exciting travel in 11th and 12th grade. We went to India and we went to Russia and some really neat experiences that I wouldn't have had if I wasn't at that school.
College?
I went to Ithaca College in New York and studied political science and took a couple of years off and then went to graduate school and got my master's in social work.
Why social work?
Ithaca, New York is a pretty liberal town, and I felt like I could try to change the world.
Okay, that suggests you wanted to change the world for specific reasons or some reasons. What in the world bothered you that you wanted to change?
Institutional racism and classism. I found out, though, that it was pretty hard to change the world, and I thought social work would let me do that one person at a time, so to speak.
What leads a social worker from the East to Montana?
Meeting the right guy who wanted to move west. I've been married for almost 16 years, and my husband went to school in New Hampshire, and always enjoyed the outside also, and we were in New Mexico for 10 years, and an opportunity came in Montana, and we took it and haven't looked back.
And do you and your husband have any kids?
Yes, Tim and I have one son. His name is Jackson, and he's nearly 14 years old.
Zach Buchilla, tell us your story. Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
I grew up in Helena, Montana. I'm 32 years old. My parents, Phil and Zoe Buchilla. My dad is an electrician, owns a company here in town, and my mom is a painting contractor.
Like residential or commercial?
Like residential painting, yes.
Interesting. So growing up in Helena, what was important to you during your school years, let's say before high school?
Before high school, getting good grades was really important to me, kind of that pat on the back for getting straight A's throughout middle school and high school. That was.
Now, where'd that come from? Did your folks set an example of excellence, or did you just feel that was important to you?
Well, they gave me the first pat on my back when I when I came home with that straight A report card the first time, and it felt good for sure.
So excellence in performance.
Yeah.
All right. Did high school change anything for you?
I would say I kind of stayed on track with striving really hard to get good grades, straight A's, till I was about a junior in high school. I just had to stop letting it drive me crazy so much and just relax and be okay with getting a B.
How interesting. Now, how about athletics? Was that part of your background?
Yeah, definitely. I grew up loving Michael Jordan, watching basketball all the time, shooting hoops in my backyard constantly, looked up to him, had my first grade class convinced that he was my cousin.
That's great.
Then I fell in love with playing tennis. I had a math teacher get me into wrestling. And so, yeah, I was always very physical and very active.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Barbara Wetherill and Zach Buchilla about rocks. We're about to get to them. Now, I have, in high school, played tennis and wrestled. What would you say, if anything, was different about the experience of those two sports?
The difference between the two sports?
Yes, as a personal experience.
With wrestling, you're kind of going hands-on with another wrestler, and it's very intimate type of an activity. Whereas in tennis, of course, there's a distance between your opponent, but a similarity though. I mean, you're still going one-on-one against another person with your skills and what you've been practicing doing.
My experience was just personally that there was a dramatic difference between the two, because one marked really physical, personal defeat or victory in relation to another young man, and the other was somewhat civilized and removed depending upon where a ball landed in relation to a line. That difference was pretty intense for me, both as a wrestler and later as a college boxer. Did that difference matter to you in any way? Did it influence your sense or which sports you preferred and why?
Yeah, I would say that I would always geared more towards kind of a one-on-one type of a sport, and something that's extremely intimate and very challenging to my being.
And after high school, what did you do?
After high school, I traveled quite a bit. I moved out to Oregon and spent a full year just kind of, you know, I just drove out there with my car. I didn't have any sense of direction, really. Just found people and found work. And basically for a year, just really trusted in other people and found great friends, explored the West Coast, and just, it was a phenomenal time.
You say wonderful or great time as if it mattered to you. Why did it matter? What did you experience that was new enough to remember it in those terms?
I left home for the first time. I wasn't being fed a great meal by my mom every single night after high school.
I can see that could matter.
Yes. And so, you know, learning how to cook noodles and finding the cheapest dinner for the time being that I needed to do it. And then really just trusting, you know, in people.
Any school after that?
Yes, I went to Knowles National Outdoor Leadership School. I took a semester in the Rockies where we were able to ski for a month straight in the Tetons. We kayaked down the Green River for a month, did some backpacking through Utah, and then also rock climbed in Sinks Canyon for a solid month as well.
Okay, that's pretty heavy-duty outdoor straight stuff. Fair?
Very fair, yeah.
Was that your first exposure to that kind of thing?
No, I was. I mean, I've been in the outdoors ever since. My neighbor kind of just threw me out there. We went backpacking and outside in Helena, Montana, and just fell in love with it.
At what age was that?
I was probably 12 years old.
Okay. So did Knowles do anything for you or give you any type of experience you hadn't had before?
Yeah, it was really the first time where I was able to hang out with seven people that I've never met from other parts of the country, male and female, with all sorts of different backgrounds, older, younger than me, and we were living, you know, in tents for the 4 months and getting along with them and arguing with them and trying to survive out in the wilderness together.
And after Knowles?
After Knowles, I had the opportunity to travel to Africa. I lived in Tanzania for 6 months where I worked on a hospital. We basically were building a hospital. Hmm. We built the hospital for 2 months, ran out of money, and so I just basically threw my backpack on and just traveled all along the eastern coast of Tanzania into Zanzibar. When I came back to the States, I fell in love with my wife, Tiffany Bichella. We married, and I started my apprenticeship as a journeyman electrician for 5 years, studied how to become an electrician, and now I'm a licensed electrician.
And is that how you earn your living now?
That is how I earn my living, yes.
In relation to Knoll, you mentioned rocks. Was that your first exposure to climbing?
It wasn't. Actually, that was one of the things that drew me to Knowles. Being able to just go rock climbing for a solid month sounded amazing to me. So I was introduced to rock climbing by the same neighbor that took me out backpacking. He gave me a rope and gave me a harness and showed me some things and pointed me in the right direction with rock climbing. And ever since then, I was immediately hooked.
I have to tell you, I've spent a lot of time in the outdoors hunting and fishing, bow hunting, hiking, and the idea of rock climbing always seemed totally nuts to me. I thought, why in the world do you want to climb rocks? And I never did try, so I remain ignorant to this day. What attracted you to it? What held you? What grabbed you?
It was the challenge. It was the difficulty of getting up a rock face. Some are obviously easier than others, and once you get up to the top of that easier route, there's one right next to it that's going to be a little bit more challenging, and there's always something constantly out there to challenge you more and more and more, and I live my life that way.
All right, what's the challenge? Describe the different kinds of challenges. There are challenges of the math test, the academic challenge that you wanted to excel at. What's a challenge in the rocks?
There's really only one way up most routes, and that's the challenge, trying to figure out the one way to make it up a certain route. You can wrestle, struggle up a route, and it's not going to be graceful, and you're going to be completely exhausted. Hmm. But if you find the one way up that route that was meant to be climbed that way, it's a beautiful dance. It's a graceful journey to the top.
Now, is this finding the right way mental, physical, intuitive? What are we talking about?
I think all three, for sure. I think there is definitely a sort of physicality to it. It does take some strength and some manipulation of your footwork and your body positioning. You also have to think about, in your brain, you have to think about what's going to make the move the easiest, how to get your hips turned in. You have to remember to breathe up on the wall.
I guess that makes sense. Now, that sounds to me like a highly integrated physical, emotional, know your body, be in control of your mind and body experience. I'm just pulling words that come to me. Is that fair?
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's rock climbing.
Now, just sitting here, hearing that for the first time, my reaction is there are not a lot of experiences that involve all those things simultaneously that are physical. One might think what comes to mind in my mind sort of strangely is maybe really being into playing a musical instrument with deep feeling. And if I stick with that strange analogy, learning to play a musical instrument with deep feeling and knowledge takes time. Does rock climbing take time to learn?
Yeah, it's a lifetime journey, lifetime activity for sure. The lifetime journey of rock climbing, when you first start out, you see maybe there's no way up this wall. And maybe you'll try and maybe you'll just, like I said, just jug haul your way up and be absolutely exhausted. And then you'll get down and then you'll look at the rock a little bit different. Or on your way up, you saw a different hold that you could use to put your foot on. And as you do it, you just make the route a bit easier and a bit easier. And by the time you've climbed this route multiple times, you've completely figured out the right line of the route.
Something that strikes me as fundamental, again, knowing nothing, is balance, the integrated balance of the parts of your body. You got two arms, two legs, feet, center, head position. Does anybody have to teach you that? I mean, were you taught these things, tricks of the trade, or did you just sort of learn them as you go?
I would say I learned some of it as I went. On my own, but I did have great instruction as I was getting into rock climbing. I found climbers from Helena that would give me some pointers, and we talk a lot about our core. You said center, and
yeah,
that's something that's extremely important with rock climbing. Very similar to yoga, very similar to a lot of the balance type activities. If you're focused on your center, being able to stand up on small edges or reach for things, putting your core directly in line with what type of movement you're doing. That's really the object of the sport.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Barbara Wetherill and Zach Buschilla about rocks and climbing them. Barbara, how does rock climbing come into your life?
Oh, because of my son. When we lived in New Mexico before we moved here, he was a competitive and beautiful and successful age group swimmer. But after 4 years of swimming 2 hours every day after school, he looked at me one day and said, "I just want to be a normal little boy." Coincidentally, the new coach that we had set up some rock climbing in Santa Fe, where we were living, as some cross training. And he went that first Saturday and pretty much walked away from swimming and took all of the tools that he learned in swimming to the gym. He's strong, he's disciplined, he's resilient, he's determined. So swimming has shaped him, and he's been able to take those tools to the rocks.
It's interesting for me to hear that what I'll call athletic disciplines that one learns in serious athletics is transferable to rock climbing. Did he say to you why the attraction to him?
Not in those words, but my hunch is that it's the same kind of, he took the discipline that he learned to the gym and the competitiveness. And I think one thing that really appealed to him with rock climbing versus swimming is the community that's in the gym. Everyone.
So this was a gym activity as well?
Yes.
Okay. A community in the gym. Tell me about it.
They want you to do well. They want you to succeed. And when you're swimming, you get up on the blocks and you want to beat the heck, even if it's by 1/100th of a second, of everyone in the pool, even if they're your really good friends. And in rock climbing, everyone wants you to succeed. They want you to get that route, and they cheer you on, and they give you tips, and they watch you, and they comment, and they help you. And I don't think he found that in swimming.
Zach, you look like you want to add to that.
Yeah, I would just say that with rock climbing, it's never a competition with another climber, never a competition with a famous climber to be like them, to climb what they've done. It's always constantly just you yourself climbing the route, and it's a wonderful vibe that you get inside and outside, inside gyms where kids and adults are climbing and they're cheering on the climber, and nobody's bummed out that they sent the route and that they didn't. You know, it's never a feeling of that. It's always a constant feeling of good job to the other climber.
Barbara, that sounds to me like a form of teamwork in a solitary sport. Am I missing something?
No, I think that's accurate. I think that you have so many cheerleaders in the rock climbing gym and outside, but I think that's a good assessment.
Further illustrating my lack of knowledge, the idea of a rock climbing gym never occurred to me. And then I heard about your joint facility. Tell me about it, Barbara. Where did the idea come from?
Well, as I said, my son had become a climber before we moved here, and he was just devastated when we found out there wasn't a rock climbing gym in Helena, and we were quite surprised there wasn't a gym here. So we drove to Bozeman and Missoula quite a bit. And my husband started wondering about building a gym here, creating a facility. And we were downtown at the local base camp store one day, and we were asking about climbing, and they said, you should really meet Zach Bushilla. And lo and behold, Zach Bushilla was standing next to us. And we exchanged names, and I think that was in March
of
2014. And in October of 2014, we had a business plan. In January of 15, we bought the building, and we opened in October of 15.
Well, if you wanted to do it, and I assume separately is just because of his intense interest, Zach might have wanted to do it. Was teaming up important?
Without a doubt. We could not have done this without each other.
Why?
I think a couple of reasons. Zach knows just about everybody in town and was instrumental in creating the space and the feel of the space and getting people to work on the building that were trustworthy and in our price range. So Zach was the creative piece, and my husband and I were lucky enough to be able to bring some money to the table.
Now, I went by your store last week, and I have to say I was shocked to walk into a store. I mean, a store, a gym facility of that design. There are rocks on the wall, and the angles of the walls are not 90 degrees. They're 90-degree perpendicular walls, but they're angled walls. And it was like a new reality for me. Who was the designer, and what went into the design?
Quite a bit went into the design. We used local architects here, and we used some local engineers. That's kind of like the drawing part of it. But the design was basically, we all knew what we really wanted in that gym. And so we talked to the architects, talked to the engineers.
And I'm an architect and engineer, let's pretend, and you, what you really wanted in there, what did you really want in there?
We wanted steep walls that were fun to climb on, that were challenging for people to climb on, a really beautiful space that even if you weren't a climber, you'd walk in and like you did, you said, whoa, wow, what?
Now, when you said difficult to climb on, when I looked at a wall, it's, let's say, 60, 45 degrees, I don't know. It means I'm hanging upside down if I'm holding onto those rocks, right?
Right, your core is hanging on, right?
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
How carefully did you interact with the architect/engineer in designing the walls, the placement of the rocks, those unusual characteristics that one sees on walking in that door.
We spent a lot of time in meetings with the architects and with the engineers. Basically, we used a civil engineer and took a long road and put a whole bunch of valleys and peaks in it, and then cut it up into two-foot sections, and then tipped that road up 90 degrees, and that's how we came up with this 3D image. And we were able to look at it and see what we liked about it, move angles, adjust angles. So it was a lot of time talking to the architects and the engineers, for sure.
Did it turn out the way you wanted?
Yeah, it's beautiful. We love the gym, love the space. It's more than just angled walls, too, though. The vibe that we tried it from the very beginning to get into this space was a living room, a place where people can come, climbers or non-climbers, and take their shoes off and relax, be in a space that they really want to hang out in for a while.
So, Barbara, who's coming?
We have lots of families coming, young families with young kids.
Really? Young kids?
Young kids, 3, 4, 5. What we've done at the gym is, as Zach was saying, not only create a place for rock climbing, but we've got wonderful things for kids to play on and climb on that aren't part of the wall. We have rings, we have a trapeze, we have swings, we have building blocks, we have a kitchen area that parents can sit and watch their kids.
Let me just ask you, how young do kids start to climb rocks?
Zach's 3-year-olds are pretty darn good. And you should see a 6-year-old.
I can't tell you how that makes me feel.
So I would say we have families coming in. We have couples coming in. We have single folks coming in. I really think we've reached most age groups and demographics in Helena.
That's quite a mix of people. Is there anything else you would say about them, Zach?
So far, over the couple months of being open, I've just been blown away with how amazing everybody is that comes in the door. And it's a blast, the conversations that start and the friendships that are starting to begin. I don't know many of them, and I'm already starting to make new friends and new relationships.
Barbara and Zach, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I hope your Stone Tree Climbing Center is a tremendous success. To our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. We'll